From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm David Monteith. Rock Region Metro has a new executive director. Charles Frazier began his tenure as chief of the public transit system on June 25th. Frazier moved from South Florida to take the position and has studied transit systems across the country. I sat down with him and public engagement director Becca Green this week to talk about Frazier's vision for the organization. I started by asking him about his background.
I am directly coming from West Palm Beach, Florida, but I'm not from Florida either. I actually grew up in the Pacific Northwest, Spokane, Washington. And the interesting thing about coming to Little Rock is that it really feels like coming home. Florida, while it's very tropical and nice, Little Rock, Arkansas, is much more what I'm accustomed to, the natural state. With all the beautiful pine trees and rivers. That's what we have in the Pacific Northwest as well. So really, it feels like coming home. And something that I'd share with you is that my father was born and raised in Malvern here locally. And so it's interesting that even though I'm not from Arkansas, I do have family roots here, and I'm looking forward to getting reconnected with those folks as soon as possible.
So give us some context then of your experiences. You mentioned where you came from and PalmTran and PalmTran Connection. Can you compare those two mass transit, operations with Rock Region Metro?
Yeah, absolutely. In Palm Beach County, it's a very large area geographically. So you're talking about just about 2,000 square miles of area to cover. Population 1.4 million, so significantly larger than this region. And then interestingly, in West Palm Beach, what you have, South Florida, it really shouldn't be a big surprise, a lot of retirees there. And so our paratransit service in Palm Beach County was significantly larger than it is here. But the two services, if I'm comparing and contrasting a little bit, Rock Region Metro is about one-third of the size of PalmTran, but made up of the same services. So the fixed route here is a tremendous service to the community from what I can see so far, providing access to opportunity for the citizens, opportunity to get to work, make a living, opportunity to get to the local universities and schools to earn that education. On the paratransit side, certainly opportunity to get to medical appointments and people taking care of their health. So even though it's a smaller service that we're providing here in Rock Region, still critical to the community in terms of what we're doing.
So I've got a few questions from listeners, and this first one lets you make the case for public transit in general. And the listener says, I've never ridden a bus in Little Rock. Why should I?
Well, there's a number of reasons why people should consider public transit. If you've got the option of a vehicle, that's great. But really, if you've never tried public transit, it's freedom in many ways. I rode the bus to the office last week. We have free Wi-Fi service. And so for the 20-minute trip that I'm making across town, I'm logging on and checking my email and getting some correspondence taken care of before I'm even to the office. Not to mention that I'm saving on fuel expense and contributing to a greener environment overall. So I think that there's lots of reasons to try transit, absolutely.
Given that you've only been here 10 days, what's your understanding of the challenges facing Rock Region Metro?
Yeah, thank you for qualifying the 10 days. You know, I am new to Little Rock, and so everybody that I meet, it's a new name, the streets are all new, and I hesitate to draw any specific conclusions about what our challenges are yet. I do know that certainly the industry as a whole across the nation, we are seeing some decreases in ridership, heavily due in part to low gas prices and the ride-sharing TNCs. The communities that are not seeing those decreases in ridership are investing in their public transportation. So, you know, without kind of fully knowing the situation here, we are consistent with the rest of the industry. The ridership is down a little bit. Opportunities for us in the future, I think that if the community is ready to invest in public transportation, I certainly believe that that's a good investment. You know, we do a lot more than just move people. Like I said earlier, we provide access to opportunity. And where you have good, and when I say good, I'm talking about frequent and the right hours of operation for public transit, you have the opportunity for your community to grow. And so I think that without knowing all the details, I think we have a good system here, and I'm looking forward to kind of making a formal assessment about what our best path forward is.
Can you give some examples of those cities or communities where public transit isn't experiencing the dip and what maybe that means to invest in public transit? What are some specifics?
Sure. I'm going to give you two: Phoenix, Arizona, and then King County in Seattle. They have continually invested in their public transportation system. So they had a sales tax recently that was adopted and embraced by the community. And what that allows the authorities there to do is provide longer hours of service. So instead of ending the service at 7 p.m. in the evening, you carry that out to 10 or 11 o'clock at night so that all of the workers that are working retail can grab their bus and take that home. And then for users like myself that have the option of a car, enough frequency so that it makes it worthwhile for me to get out of my car. In other words, it doesn't take me 2 hours to get to work. I can get there in a reasonable amount of time. So that's the type of investment that they're making is extended span of hours and then increased frequency. So it makes it easy for them to use the transit system.
So your predecessor, Jared Varner, tried to get a dedicated sales tax passed and wasn't successful. Have you gotten any advice from him? Have you spoken with him at all about the specifics to Rock Region Metro?
I have not spoken to Jared yet. We did correspond, and I'm certainly looking forward to meeting with him and learning about his experience. What I can tell you about, you know, the opportunity for a sales tax, what I really want to do first is make an assessment of the organization. So first and foremost, I'm going to be looking at safety. The safety of our employees, our frontline employees, the bus operators. I want to make sure that everything that we're doing is keeping them safe. Our back-of-house employees, our maintenance workers, I'll be assessing the safety of that. And then, of course, the safety of the system as a whole for our riders. So the first things first, I want to kind of assess the safety of the system. The second thing that I'm going to be looking at is the efficiency of the system. Before we go to the public with a discussion about any type of potential sales tax, they want to be sure, I want to be sure, that we are being as efficient as we can be with the resources that we have. So before we talk about, you know, the opportunity for a sales tax, I want to know that the system is running safely. I want to know that we're being efficient. The third thing I'm going to be looking at is customer service. Anybody that's going to be utilizing the system should have an expectation that they're going to get excellent customer service. The people that we work with here, every one of our employees, I give them my personal customer service guarantee. Anytime that they see me, I'm going to engage them and be cordial, and I expect the same when we're dealing with our customers and the community. So customer service is the third thing that I'll be looking at. And then we'll look at ridership and talk about the opportunity to make an investment in the community. And that's a community decision. So my job will be helping to get that word out there at the right time.
So related to customer service and efficiency, I know your background is in technology and Rock Region Metro fairly recently, within maybe the last year, instituted the app to track the bus. Can you talk about how you've seen that work in either PalmTran or what you know about it here, and maybe any other plans for expanding the technology? You mentioned the Wi-Fi on the buses.
So. Sure, absolutely. So, not just my prior experience at PalmTran, but really my affiliation with the American Public Transportation Association. That's our major industry association for public transportation. And, technology is evolving very quickly, but it allows us to do many things. So the first thing that it allows us to do, and this is just simple GPS technology, it allows us to see where the bus is, and is it on time, or is it early, or is it running late? And when we start to collect all of that data and we can see it at the time of day, who's driving the bus, what time of year, that allows us to really drill down and determine, do we have too much fat in the schedule or not enough? And so we're able to take that and make the routes as efficient as possible. So that's one use of the technology. Another use of the technology is customer service and convenience. So if I'm a rider and it's a sunny and warm day outside and I don't want to stand out in the sun, what's nice about our app is that you can visually see on the map the exact location of your bus. So if you want to stay inside your apartment or stay inside the coffee shop, you know that your bus is coming in 2 minutes, and so you've got time to finish your cup of coffee, pay your bill, and then go catch the bus. So it makes it very convenient for the user, the customers. And then thirdly, I would add in that we are going to be expanding our technology here to include mobile ticketing in the near future. That information, first of all, the service will be very convenient for our riders. They can just use their phone to pay for their tickets. But in terms of back-end data, that's really going to allow us to start to understand travel patterns of our passengers. And what I'm talking about there is destination and origin. Where are they starting and where are they trying to get to? And as we start to see those patterns emerge in our local area, that will give us the opportunity to adjust our routes accordingly and really be nimble to what the community needs at particular times of the year, when school's in, when school's out, and start to understand those things with some data rather than just guessing. So a big supporter of technology, certainly.
So sort of related to technology, but not quite not as specifically as we've been talking about. I had a listener question, any plans for propane or electric buses?
Well, the answer is possibly. Right now, we'll just skip back to that 12 days in to the current position. We do have a strategic plan and a dedication to CNG, compressed natural gas buses. That investment, we've already got the compressor and the infrastructure required to provide that. And that's a solid technology. The cost is less than the traditional diesel. Propane buses are interesting. I did have some experience with propane in South Florida. It sounds very nice. It's environmentally friendly. But we had some operational issues, frankly. Getting those buses to run in the heat was problematic sometimes, and then the fueling became an issue. So I would consider propane perhaps as a pilot. Really what we would want to do before we stepped in any of those directions is an alternative fuel study of some sort. We have lots of resources through the American Public Transportation Association. Any one of our peer agencies, either in the state or in the nation, could come in and help us do an assessment on what might be the appropriate investment for the organization. But we'll kind of cross that road once we address the safety issues and the efficiency issues.
So another long-term out there question from a listener that I think ties also to your past, is can we get a high-speed train from Little Rock to Conway? And so high-speed train is a big stretch. So maybe tie that back into your experiences with the Palmtran Bullet Bus and whether that went well or went as well as you hoped and what a bullet bus might look like here.
Sure. So the answer to the question, which is can we get a high-speed train between Little Rock and Conway, I guess anything's possible with enough money. But I don't know that that's necessarily the smartest first step investment. There's lots of ways that you can provide that type of a service. Bus rapid transit might be an option. I think that the service that you're referring to in Palmtran is the Bolt, not the Bullet, but the Bolt was a limited stop bus. And what that meant was along one of our fixed route corridors, where we would traditionally have 200 stops for a routine bus, the limited stop Bolt bus only stopped at 15 of those stops in the same distance. And so this bus got to the destination faster. And so express buses like that are certainly possible, which may be something between here and Conway.
So I think along the list of things that you'll have to look into are these series of questions that 10 days in, probably can't answer, but maybe you could talk about a timeline for answering. So I'll just ask these series and you can jump in wherever you like.
Sure.
Any chance of extending service westward? Can the buses and trolleys run on a more frequent schedule and also run later in the evening? Are there any plans to expand Sunday service and run the buses later? A lot of low-income folks without cars have to work late on Sundays. And the last one, speaking directly to expanding services, it would be great to extend to Cabot, but with more frequent trips and times.
Yes, 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 yes. All of those questions are critically important to what we want to do here at Rock Region Metro. Service out west is certainly a possibility. Later hours of service to help people get to and from their jobs, critically important. Weekend service, this is an area that we have tremendous opportunity. In a lot of transit agencies, you'll see that they, as a budget-saving strategy, reduce hours of service in the evening, and then they cut weekend hours, which really baffles me because that's when so many of the people that ride our service need it. So yeah, there's absolutely possibility for extending service on the weekends. And then frequency, the last question, frequency equals freedom. If you know that a bus is coming every 10 or 15 minutes, the schedule really becomes not that important. Right now, I think that we are challenged with some of the headways that we have. The very most frequent headway that we have in our system is 30 minutes. And when you start to see headways of 40 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour, we're really not giving our customers the best opportunity to get around in the community. So that's something that we'll absolutely be looking at.
So a headway is the delay between buses arriving at the same destination, and 30 minutes is the lowest that Rock Region Metro has
right
now.
That's the most frequent that we have. In many areas along busy routes, you might see frequency of 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. That's a significant improvement in service, because if you've got a 40-minute headway and for some reason you miss the bus, your next bus is not coming for 40 minutes, and that's not good or convenient or excellent service that we want to provide.
All right. So I've got to ask you about the trolley. The trolley system always comes up as some folks think it's not utilized enough to keep it around. Other folks love it for a variety of reasons, you know, like it's just quaint and charming and adds to the Little Rock personality. What are your thoughts on the trolley system, if you've had a chance to even look at it?
Okay, so the answer to the question is, I think it's quaint, I think it's charming, and I think it is just a very unique system and thing that we have here in the North Little Rock area and Little Rock area. I need to spend some time looking at that ridership and really determining what we're trying to accomplish there. If the goal is ridership, we might take one action. If the goal is frequency for tourists, that's a different path that we might take. But I think it's a good resource that we should not underestimate the power of. It certainly draws people to the area, and so I will spend some time making an assessment there and determining what next best steps to take.
What about the, so one of the issues that Little Rock is facing right now that I don't know how up to speed you are on, but they're talking about expanding the highway, one of the major highways going through the middle of Little Rock. And this listener asks, is there any way to convince the Department of Transportation to use money on a more comprehensive rail system instead of expanding the highway?
Well, in answer to the question, are there opportunities? I believe there are always opportunities. In my experience, working with different Department of Transportation, and certainly I expect the same here in Arkansas, is that they are our partners for us in transportation in the region. So I look forward to establishing positive working relationships with the Department of Transportation, and I'm absolutely sure that we can find constructive and beneficial ways for all types of transportation, including public transportation.
One of the campaigns that's been happening, I guess for maybe a couple of months, is the How to Ride the Bus campaign, and a listener asks, how is that going? How's the How to Ride a Bus campaign going?
I'm going to let Becca answer that, since I'm going to lean on my 12 days in excuse, but Becca, why don't you fill us in?
I'm sure, happy to. It's really a success. We have hosted quite a number of transit training workshops now. We did a couple that were open to the public back in May, and other workshops that we've done have been more focused with certain nonprofits, for example, people who are groups of people who are pointing people to use transit. And I think this is something that not just Little Rock experiences, but maybe a lot of small southern cities where we don't have the investments in public transit, for example, that New York City has. And so a lot of people in our community have never experience transit. And so it can seem quite overwhelming, and we've heard this from people in the community. So this was kind of something that we put together to kind of pilot program. Hey, how would this work? And would this be useful to people? And the feedback has been overwhelmingly, wow, I learned so much. I never knew this. This is great. Do more of it. How can I sign up my friends to do this too? And whatnot. So it's worked out really, really well. And so far, I think the biggest benefit to it is helping people who may not ever ride transit. That's really not the point, that they necessarily ride transit. It's a lot of people in our community have jobs where they're pointing other people to use the transit system, and they themselves may not ever plan on using it. But then if they don't know anything about how it operates, they may be pointing their clients and students in their care to make some difficult choices or things that aren't really going to benefit them. So the whole point is to sort of train the trainers on how to use the system so they can go out and help create a better transportation plan for their clients and the people that they're working with.
Great, thanks. You have something to add to that?
Yeah, I would just add that, especially with some of our technology investments and the innovation of the mobile ticketing and the app, I even struggle from time to time. My brother might call me and say, hey, download this app. It's real easy to use. But, they're not always very intuitive. So I think the concept of helping our community use the tools that we have, and if we can get them on the public transit system, they may find that it's a reliable resource for them. So I'm certainly invested in continuing the training and outreach program.
All right, so last question, and that is, what are your, you've been here 10 days, what are your first impressions, final thoughts?
Yeah, it's easy. I absolutely love Little Rock, Arkansas. I have met amazing people since I have been here. I feel entirely welcomed to the community, number one. Number two, I love the food. I have eaten more in the last 2 weeks than I'm used to eating, and so my clothes are feeling a little bit tight. But it's the Southern hospitality is true, and I'm certainly feeling it. And the third thing, this might sound a little bit odd for some of the local folks, but for me, coming from South Florida, this weather here right now is perfect. In South Florida, our humidity generally right now, this time of year, 95%, 96%, and that's hot and humid. And so this weather that we're having now, even though it is very warm, is a break for me, and I really enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to being here for a long time and making a positive impact on the community.
Anything else you want the listeners to know?
Yeah, I'd like the listeners to please be aware of our public transit system that we have here in Little Rock, Pulaski County. It's a critically important service that we provide to the community. And if you haven't tried it, please consider it. And if you would like to have any information or like me to come and speak to any of the groups that are out there, I would be happy to do so. And so I'm looking forward to getting to know more people in the area.
Charles Frazier, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm David Monteith, KUAR News.